This is a live look at the Jefferson Memorial on a Tuesday morning in our nation's capital, site of the 89th annual Baseball All-Star Game. We're here at Nationals Park. Welcome to First Thing First. It is a lovely day. Once again, we are so lucky. The morning after the Home Run Derby, alongside the Hall of Famer Chris Carter and Nick Wright. I'm Jenna Wolf.
It is great out here. Last night, this stadium was damn near levitating in the air by the end of the Home Run Derby. Today's an even nicer day. A little CC's our resident meteorologist, a little cooler today.
Yes.
A little breezier.
Home Run Derby got off to a great start last night. Most of the time, it's hard to keep that energy, but the hometown hero was able to come through. It was an amazing atmosphere.
Beautiful.
Absolutely amazing.
Let's start there. You literally could not have written a better script for what happened right here in this park last night. In the Home Run Derby, hometown hero Bryce Harper, struggling the first half of the season, hoping to resurrect his season in front of 50,000 strong here at Nationals Park. His dad was pitching to him. The crowd was rooting for him. And Bryce Harper delivered an epic comeback in the final round against Kyle Schwarber to win the Home Run Derby. Absolutely incredible. CeCe, how awesome was last night's win for a guy who really had been struggling and who really needed the energy which he fed from that crowd?
Yeah, I think it's important for fans to know what type of struggle that he is going through personally. In his contract year, you would not expect him to be batting under 220, which he is doing with his pending free agency. Probably one of the top five biggest names in all of baseball. You would expect him, after the disappointment of the last couple years in the postseason, the Nationals not being able to make that type of mark. This was his mark. I mean, he's been on the scene for a long time, but has he lived up to? And Nick, I know that you follow LeBron, and LeBron was kind of a lot like Bryce Harper, Sports Illustrated cover boy at the age of 16, now being with the Nationals in the face of Major League Baseball, but not living up to the expectations we have seen LeBron James. So spectacular night for him, a guy who's having a disappointing season.
And I wonder if this will be the moment that propels him and the Nationals the rest of the season. Like, they're a team that, while right now they wouldn't be in the playoffs, it's not like they're out of the race. They're playing 500 baseball. They're five games back of the Phillies in their division, and that's with Harper, like you said, batting 215 on the year. You also wonder if it will propel maybe his career forward with Washington because he's a pending free agent. But that's all things down the road, which I know we're going to get to. What this was last night was storybook. It's the type of things we say, you say you couldn't script it. Well, they could script it, but it would come across as not so believable.
So set the table. Down 18-9
down
in the final round.
Down 18-9 with 90 seconds left. Now, he knows he has the 30-second additional time, but he looked like, it looked like he was drawing dead. It looked like he had no shot, and then he hits home runs on 9 of the final 10 pitches he sees. He and his dad kind of fudged the rules a little bit because they knew they were up against the clock. They didn't wait for the ball to land anymore. Just keep going. And when I say with 90 seconds left, he didn't start hitting those home runs with 90 seconds left. His dad, after the timeout, started missing pitches, which was odd. It looked like he was throwing and breaking balls in batting practice. And then he got in a groove that would have lit any crowd up. But it's the hometown crowd. It's their guy that you said, the LeBron-type expectations. It was unbelievable. I'm sitting there watching it with buddies, and we had, of course, bets on how many home runs he was going to finish on. And the lowest number anybody had was 13. And with a minute left, we thought he wasn't even going to get to the lowest number. He ends up tying it as time expires. Then he gets the 30-second add-on and winning it. That was as good as a home run derby can be. Like, you can't have a more compelling home run derby. And I'll give Major League Baseball credit in this regard. They changed the system. The time, instead of the 10 outs, it's a far more compelling viewing experience. And it adds real tension to what you're seeing.
We talk all the time, CeCe, about pressure with big-time athletes, and you don't generally think of pressure when it comes to the Home Run Derby. But here's a guy who's playing basically for a contract this year, who struggled the first half of the season, who basically came out and said, I'll play in the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game, when it's here in our park. Everyone here is rooting for him. He's
Absolutely.
The biggest name on the roster last night, and he comes out trailing and then delivers. And if you're here in the stadium, you heard the energy. If you're watching at home, even the announcers were shocked as he kept going yard, yard, yard each time.
I mean, it was one of the things that we expected to see from Bryce Harper. You know, the guy was a phenom as a kid. We've been following his career. He hadn't had moments like that. We've seen the other players that are the faces of baseball. We've seen them have moments during the regular season, postseason. Really, baseball is about the postseason. And until Bryce is able to do that in the postseason compared to in a home run derby. Now, it was a great script for a guy having a bad season. But to say this is the highlight of his career.
Well, I don't think it's. I mean, he won an MVP a few years ago. I don't think it's the highlight of his career. It's the highlight of his season so far. And we've seen home run derbies where guys were on this great upward trajectory, do great in the derby or win the derby, and then the second half of the season goes sideways. I mean, the curse of the home run derby was something people brought up.
Saw it last year.
Does it screw up your swing? Does whatever it... You wonder if this could be, and I don't want to overreact to just a moment, but you wonder if this could be the flip of that. A guy who's just scuttling along. Now, he does have 23 home runs, but it was the only thing on the year he'd been doing well was hitting home runs. If that can be the type of thing that helps turn his season around.
You know, yesterday we sat here on the show. We had Tom Verducci on, who just wrote an article about how underrated Mike Trout is. We talked about how he could walk down the street. You wouldn't know who he was if he wasn't wearing a uniform. When you look at a guy like Bryce Harper, would you say Bryce Harper right now is one of the biggest stars in baseball?
He should be the biggest star in baseball. Mike Trout can be the best player. He is the best player. But Bryce Harper, because of the cachet he had coming into Major League Baseball, because of the way he carries himself, because of the way young people gravitate towards his style, his flair, he should be the biggest star in the sport. He can be the biggest star in the sport. He has the talent and the look to be the biggest, and he carries himself like he's the biggest star in the sport. And a couple years ago, he played like the biggest star in the sport. He's had some minor injuries, and then this year, the shift has really hurt him. There are some other things that have really hurt him. But baseball needs guys like Bryce Harper. Like, Mike Trout can end up being the greatest baseball player ever. Like, Mickey Mantle, our generation's Mickey Mantle, whatever. But Mike Trout is so understated, you need to have a flip side to that. A guy that's going to be overstated, but that only works when you are at the top of the sport. He has been in the past. This year, he hasn't been.
It only works when you're great, all right? And that's the pressure that Bryce, that he will be under throughout his career. It's high expectations, but will he be able to live up that? Is he the biggest star in baseball? He's one of the biggest stars. I wouldn't say he's the biggest star because he hadn't had the highlights that we are used to seeing with the biggest names in baseball.
So do you think the Nationals then, to forget what we think he might have in the second half, should the Nationals go all out to try to bring him back?
Listen, the all-out part is interesting. We saw a guy who statistically had a very similar opening half of or opening 5 years of his career to Harper's opening 6 years in Giancarlo Stanton. And Stanton got a 13-year, $325 million contract that instantly became something of an albatross for the Florida Marlins. That's why Giancarlo Stanton is now a New York Yankee. I would be hesitant to give anybody in sports, anybody, I'll be honest, in life, a 9, 10, 11-year guaranteed deal. But if you're the Nationals, would you pay Bryce Harper, like Tom Verducci said yesterday, $40 million a year for 5 years? I would. I always buy in the talent. And when you have Scherzer, when you have Strasburg, when you have this market, you have the ability to compete for championships. In his 6 years in the pros, he's been to the playoffs four times. Now, they've been one and done in the playoffs all four times. Bunch of game five losses in the short ALDS. But I don't think you can let a talent like Bryce Harper walk in free agency and get nothing in return.
Yeah, it becomes hard for the franchise, and especially in doing shows like this. I don't think it's right for us to put the pressure on the franchise, go all out. They have to do something that's smart for them. And like Tom said yesterday, a shorter-term deal compared to the one Juan Carlos got would be better. And also, look at all these bad deals in baseballs, these long deals in baseballs. Yeah, you sign a guy when he's in his prime, you sign him to 6 to 8 to 10 years, he's going to be outside of his prime. So a lot of those end of the years, you're going to be eating those. And I believe that's really bad for baseball.
All right, we are just getting started here on a Tuesday morning live from Nationals Park in our nation's capital. So much more coming up on First Things First. Nick Swisher will stop by. Dave Winfield, John Smoltz is going to be here. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner, all coming up on First Things First. Welcome back to First Things First. Live from Nationals Park. Big show this morning. Lots of important people stopping by. Our guy Nick Swisher joins us in about a half hour. He's off to the side doing push-ups. Later, Commissioner Rob Manfred will be here. Hall of Famers John Smoltz and Dave Winfield. Lots of baseball to talk about with lots of cool people to talk about
it with. I might try to make Mr. Winfield do the little hand competition CeCe likes to do. I think we might have a guest finally that got CeCe trumped on this. 6'7" Dave Winfield.
Okay. All right, we're going to talk Le'Veon Bell in a second, but first, Svi Mykhailiuk keeps finding ways into our program with the lob from half-court catches.
Now, is he related to somebody on the show? What the heck does this guy keep being in our highlight reel?
Some of our staff really does like him. He is playing for the Lakers, so it's a relevant team now. But also, I didn't know he had. Get up, young fella. What? See?
I mean, he's 6'6". A guy 6'6" dunking the basketball is not a feat.
Okay.
Oh, okay. No problem. First thing.
All right,
first.
Josh Hart with a little hezzy into a spin move with a nice finish.
Another one of the young Laker core, Josh Hart. A little Lakers-Cavs game went to double OT yesterday. Josh Hart, you always got to be very careful with any summer league evaluations. But Josh Hart looks like a more refined player than I would have expected already.
And you put two NBA superstars on the court with him, I believe he's only going to get better.
And LeBron likes him. Former Arizona Wildcat Kobe Simmons with a nice sweet potato.
First of all, how many steps do you get in the NBA before you shoot this one? Watch on the pass here. Watch this. One, two, three.
I think that was fine. Pivot, step and a half.
You think it was five?
Fine. I think it's fine. Did you call that a sweet potato?
Yesterday you told me no more yams. So my new word for no one got it. We're sticking in the carbohydrate family. And okay, well, we'll try again tomorrow. We tried today. Every day we'll come back.
Hey, why don't we do this? Why don't you? Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Why don't you ask Nick and I about those little
terminology?
Okay, so
so we can kind of bring
so
you up
at
into
home,
the 21st century.
I did ask, and as generally is the case, this is what happened.
Oh, okay, but here's what I promise you didn't happen, was we just gave you other foods that weren't yams as a way.
Apologies.
We can discuss this more off the air. But sweet potato, I honestly, when you said it so confidently.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, man, the new lingo has passed me by, like a putback dunk. Being called a sweet potato.
No chance I
have the new
lingo. I was
almost afraid to ask about it on the air.
Anyway, okay. We are basically in the outfield at Nationals Park here, site of the MLB All-Star Game. It's a beautiful day. The grass is very well manicured. What kind of grass is it, C?
Green.
That's the one.
the best kind.
It's a blend, you told us yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it's a hybrid. We don't want to get into it. We lost some of our viewers yesterday, but.
Talking about it?
Yeah,
okay.
Chris Carter's into the grass.
Yeah,
the
no
hybrid.
Problem.
All right, it's good to know. Let's talk some NFL now. Stop me if you've heard this one before. I'm sure you have. Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers not able to get a long-term deal done before yesterday's 4 p.m. deadline. And as a result, the running back's agent said, quote, this now likely will be Le'Veon's last season as a Steeler. A disappointed Bell tweeted out the following. To all my Steeler fans, my desire always has been to retire a Steeler. Both sides worked extremely hard today to make that happen, but the NFL is a hard business at times. And to the fans that had hope, I'm sorry we let you down, but trust me, 2018 will be my best season to date. CeCe, I'll ask you, will the Steelers regret not signing L. Bell to a long-term deal?
I don't think they're going to regret it. I think that all along I thought that the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to franchise L. Bell at least once. They did it twice. And you look at this climate in the NFL, how much are you willing to spend for a running back? We've seen that offensive linemen costs have gone way, way up. And you have to be smart about the way you spend money. They've made some critical decisions about their football team, that being Ben Roethlisberger, their quarterback. He's been paid a nice salary for a long period of time. Last year, what they did with Antonio Brown, to me, it decided the fate of Le'Veon Bell, where they couldn't have two guys be that at the top echelon as far as wide receiver. Antonio is the highest paid, and then L. Bell almost basically trying to make twice as much as the highest paid running back. So I didn't think Pittsburgh that he was going to fit in their long-term plans because of the type of demands that he was making and how much more money this was than the second, third, and fourth highest paid running backs.
Go ahead, Jenna.
I do think they're going to regret it, because what's their best case scenario for them now? Is that he has a great year? He has a great year and you lose him. Best case scenario, your best case scenario can't be he has a bad year. You need him right now. I mean, Antonio Brown just turned 30. Ben Roethlisberger's going into year 15. I don't know how much longer the window of this triumvirate, this, you know, kind of a modern day triplets, is going to last. And to me, there's been some misinformation on the reporting. Ian Rappaport tweeted out yesterday the Steelers offered him 5 years, $70 million. But that's a totally meaningless figure until you find out how much of that was guaranteed money. Like, how much of that was just on the back end of the deal, years he's never going to see. What I do know is this, that the Pittsburgh Steelers were in a position, have been in a position the last few years, that no other team in football could say. We have a consensus top five quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. They are yet to have take full advantage of that as far as reaching, much less winning a Super Bowl. And now they have 1 year left of that. They have 1 year left with Le'Veon Bell on the football team. I don't think that is smart business. And when we look at the league as a whole, there has to be a correction coming with the running back market. Running back is now the second lowest paid position in football, behind only tight end. Like, you can't have the highest paid guards, centers, inside linebackers making more than the best running backs in football. There's not, like, it has swung too far in that direction.
Just because you don't like it don't mean that it's not going to continue to happen. If you look at the emphasis of the NFL right now has been on the offensive line. You mentioned the tight ends being the lowest paid on the offense, but the tight ends until several years ago, they were almost obsolete. We just start seeing the last 5 years, tight ends, multiple tight end offenses, especially with New England. They have done it more than anyone else, put tight ends on the field. And then we've seen the resurgence of tight ends, getting them in mismatches, in space. So we've seen the tight end come back. The running back is making a reemergence as far as a primary player. But from a dollar standpoint, when you look at the length of their career, when you look at the amount of guarantees, all right, they are not going to guarantee running backs because their career is too short, they're too apt to get hurt, and you can replace a running back with a free agent. And that's what I think the recent history of the NFL has shown offensive and offensive coordinators, that you don't have to have a high draft pick. You don't have to pay a guy in excess of $10 million to have a quality running back.
But do you think there was more to that with this Le'Veon Bell situation?
Actually, I know there was more to it. The Pittsburgh Steelers, once Le'Veon Bell got suspended for the 2016 season to start the season with the three-game suspension, that means he's already been disciplined two other times, all right? In the NFL drug policy, you get fined, basically game checks, before you get suspended.
And he's been suspended twice.
Yes.
Yes.
So you know that he was fined at least a couple times before that. So no one has told me this. I just know the drug program. He's one strike away from missing a year away from football. So why would you invest those types of dollars into a guy that's one strike away from being out, away from your organization? And, Nick, I think you're wrong as far as Pittsburgh, because they've gotten two good years out of L. Bell, and they haven't committed the $40 or $50 million in guarantees to a running back who also has a potential long-term suspension hanging over his head.
all that, yes, is on the table. But the bottom line is the Steelers have three big parts of their offense. And it's been those three big parts. And it's been Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell. And they're going to hold on to and pay Ben Roethlisberger. And they've obviously decided to pay, you know, Antonio Brown. So you look at the running back and you wonder how important the running back is to this offense, or to any offense, if that becomes the expendable position of the three.
I also think, well, here's the thing. I think Le'Veon Bell is, you cannot evaluate him the way we evaluate most running backs. This guy's top 20 in the NFL in catches over the last two seasons.
I don't think Pittsburgh is evaluating him that way. They're offering $5 million more than any running back is making.
Like, Well, no. You mean the franchise tag?
I mean, even in the long-term deal, even though we don't know the guarantee, say they offered him $14 million.
That's what it would have averaged out over the course of the deal.
It's $5 million more. What other position are you going to get $5 million more than the highest paid? There is no other position in the NFL that's doing that.
Correct, but there's also another position in the NFL where the best guys are all on rookie deals except for him. Like, so we got to look at the salary with the running back position a little bit differently, because Zeke is on a rookie deal. Fournette, Gurley, all these guys are on rookie deals. And so I understand what you're saying, but typically the other position, the best paid guys are on second contracts, so you have an idea of what the fair market value is. Like, would you agree that at some point this has to reset?
What I agree with is L. Bell overplayed his hand. And they think running backs are more valuable. And because Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott, you can't guarantee they're going to get $15 to $20 million. Why would you put those types of guarantees in a running back? I believe that model right now is going around the NFL, and L. Bell misplayed his hand. He thought for sure. Remember he said, oh, I'm not coming in unless I get $17 million. Then he dropped down, $15 million. Oh, I want $14 million. He overplayed his hand.
All right, well, we will talk about this much more coming up over the course of the next 3 hours. Come up on the other side, though, will Kawhi Leonard's opinion about the San Antonio Spurs change now that they can offer him that Supermax deal, that $219 million? We're live from Nationals Park. This is First Things First. Welcome back. It is a work day. People are getting to work. Not for us, though. We are having some fun. First things first, just outside the outfield wall in Nationals Park in our nation's capital for the 2018 MLB All-Star Game. Takes place tonight at 7:30 on Fox.
I think I'm at work, though.
You feel like you're at work? I don't feel like. I feel like I'm just hanging out with you guys having fun, like every day.
No doubt. What are we doing here?
We're going viral. This is Rhys Hopkins of the Phillies, participant in last night's home run derby. 37 total home runs, but lost in the semis. After the derby, he hopped on social media and tweeted, I would like to send my condolences to all of the balls that were harmed in the making of that derby. Hashtag, oh my goodness.
He was awesome. He got it started last night, got the crowd involved. The first round, I mean, it was like, whoa, who's going to follow that? I thought that was very exciting for him to get the ball. Not a lot of people knew him. He was a big underdog heading into the home run derby, so it was exciting to see him get off to a great start.
Every round of it was compelling. The timer is great, and the head-to-head part of it, instead of just seeding is great. My guy Javi Baez got a bad draw, I thought. Got unlucky. He had 16 home runs, didn't even get out of the first round.
That's what happened to him?
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
That's why he didn't win.
16 home runs was fourth most of anybody in the first round, but he went up against a guy at 17.
Looked good in the warm-ups. He was wearing Roberto Clemente's jacket there in the warm-ups before he went into the batter's box. Didn't do so well in the batter's box.
He did great
but
the
jacket
batter's
looked
box.
Well on it.
But the guy who won was basically supposed to win last night, and he did in Bryce Harper.
And, by the way, Harper didn't have a huge round until the end. Like, he kind of warmed up, I think it was 13-13, and then the monster finish.
All right, let's talk about that with some stories to start your morning. Biggest story in town when y'all wake up. Bryce Harper, the national star, put on a show last night at the aforementioned home run derby. Epic comeback, beating Kyle Schwarber. CeCe, how impressed were you with Harper's performance?
Very impressed. I'll let the baseball end. We got Switch coming up. They can talk about the baseball. But I was very impressed. I love the arm sleeve. Yesterday was a difficult day for Americans, but, man, he had the Star Spangled Banner on the sleeve. Check out the wristband. Check out the socks.
The headband was
dope.
And he had it on the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to get to that, Nick.
Oh, okay. I was just jumping in. He was Team America all the way yesterday. It was a perfect ending to what was one of the most entertaining home run derbies I've ever seen. And I thought it was kind of going to go out with a whimper. when it looked like he wasn't going to even come close to catching Schwarber, it looked like, oh, okay, you got the hometown guy with a chance to win it, and he's going to lose 18-11, and then he hits 9 of 10 to end up tying it up. It was great.
Look at that. It's fantastic. All right, here's where we are on the Manny Machado watch. According to reports, a Machado trade is very close to being done as during the All-Star break, and all signs are pointing to him going somewhere other than the New York Yankees. Nick, where do you think Machado can go where he'll most impact the playoff race in the second half of the season now?
The Los Angeles Dodgers is my answer there. They have, at shortstop, they could get better. That's the position he wants to play. They are in a very tight divisional race, only a half game up on the Diamondbacks, but also only two games up on the Rockies. And they're a team that could trade for him and believe he might not be a rental. They're going to have the money to keep him if they want to. I think the Dodgers are the place, the best fit for him.
Yeah, I like it. Magic Johnson, get involved. He's still involved with the Dodgers, right?
Sure.
Let's get a two-man deal. Let's get him and Kawhi both coming to Los Angeles. One plays with the Dodgers. The other one comes on down and plays for Laker Nation. Let's get this done, Los Angeles. Everyone's going to Los Angeles. If you want to move to Los Angeles, the show's moving to Los Angeles.
No, we're not doing that.
Everybody's going to L.A. Everybody got that?
We're good.
Everybody's shaking their head. No.
All right, let's move on to the NFL. Aaron Rodgers turns 35 this season, but he's not planning on hanging it up anytime soon. Rodgers said, quote, "I'd love to play till I'm 40. Get in line, Aaron Rodgers. It's a popular age to strive for if you are a quarterback in the NFL, apparently. CC, you think Rodgers can play at the high level we've seen him play for this long?
If we believe that Peyton Manning, if we believe that what we're seeing with Tom Brady, if we believe what we're seeing with Drew Brees, this guy's a better athlete than all of them. He hadn't had any serious ailments to his shoulder, throwing shoulder,
right,
or his lower extremities. So, no, nothing wrong with his knees. He loves playing in Green Bay. So when you get to that advanced age, it's how much hunger and thirst does the guy have for the game? Aaron hadn't won a championship in a long time, too. I look forward to him playing into his 40s.
Let me ask you one question about this real quick, because you know I think Aaron Rodgers is the most talented thrower of the football in the history of the sport. I really believe that. But you mentioned that he's a better athlete than those guys. Could that potentially work against him staying at his level as his athleticism deteriorates? Like, one of the reasons doesn't matter, it seems, how old Tom Brady is. The guy was never a great athlete. Part of Rodgers' greatness is getting out on the move. Do you think it could work against him?
That has nothing to do with the athleticism I'm talking about. When I talk about being a good athlete, I'm talking about let's put them on a field and play four or five other sports.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is a better athlete. And if we were talking about his mobility, that's going to prevent him from getting hit. That's what's going to actually keep him healthier is his athleticism.
All right, and finally, Earl Thomas is ready to get his contract situation with the Seahawks resolved. Via Instagram, he requested either a contract extension or a trade, but not both. That would be too demanding. CeCe, what should the Seahawks do with Earl Thomas?
They got to trade him. They got to let him go because he's not going to be happy there. He's kind of given you a kind of a precursor for him not being happy there. He's not going to show up at camp. If you look at Richard Seymour, they let him go.
Richard Sherman,
let him go. If you look at Cliff Avril, him deciding to retire. Cam, he's out with the neck. He can't play football anymore. This Seattle team is totally different. I believe now is the time. They're going to lose Earl one way or another. They're better off getting a draft pick for him and trying to replace him next year.
Wouldn't the time have been before the draft, though? That's my only question about this is, if you're going to lose Earl Thomas for the 2018 season, wouldn't you, I would like to think, you'd have the foresight to know this
Are you talking about the player or the organization?
For the organization.
Yeah, because of course, that would be better for them
right, but
as you start getting close to training camp, but the player doesn't want to be there. That's why he's continued on with his demands.
But I guess my point is, I feel like we had an idea from afar that Earl Thomas, months ago, either wanted a new contract or to be released or to be able to go somewhere else. We were talking about it during the season about him wanting to potentially go to Dallas at some point. I just think organizationally, as you're going through this iteration of the team, Sherman's moving on, as you mentioned. They knew that Cam Chancellor might not be able to play anymore. I think you would have been better off trying to do this when you could get a player that can come in and help you this season. If you trade him now, it would almost assuredly be for a draft pick, right? You're not going to trade player for player typically.
Yeah, I just think with the climate in that locker room, is he going to enhance what you're trying? Pete Carroll's trying to change that locker room. It's obviously with all the new faces. Is Earl going to help me get my message to the new players? No, he's not. So regardless of what we think about timing, man, the player, to me, is not, it's not in his best interest to bring him into the locker room and continue on this, which is ultimately, it's going to end in a divorce anyway.
All right, let's talk some basketball now. Moving on to the NBA. Big day for Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs. No, they didn't sign him, but now they can pay him. The Spurs can now officially offer him the five-year, approximately $219 million supermax contract. That being said, Kawhi still reportedly wants to be traded to Los Angeles, where he would make less money. CeCe, what does it say that Kawhi is willing to leave that money on the table in order to go play elsewhere?
Well, for a lot of people, it might say different things. But for Kawhi, it says that money is not his number one motivator. He believes in his heart of hearts that in Los Angeles, he'll be a happier person. That's playing basketball with the Clippers or with the Lakers. He spent most of his time in the San Diego area. He loves that area. Kawhi is not the type of person that by the external things that he's motivated. Actually, last week he went to Vegas. It was too chaotic for him. He planned on staying longer, left after one night there with some friends. So Kawhi is not the normal superstar where he's looking for the limelight, he's looking for the attention, or he's looking for those max dollars. Him and his group, they knew that this date was coming. So this is not a big day for them. It's not like it caught them by surprise. They had made up their mind long time ago that the supermax numbers, they didn't matter in the overall picture of where Kawhi wanted to go and what he wants to do in his future.
That's where even before I started to get some of the insight that from Chris, because he's obviously very close to this situation, that to me was the biggest indicator months ago that, Kawhi Leonard, for some reason or another, and there's a lot of reasons that went into it, desperately wants out of San Antonio in a way that I cannot remember a player wanting out of a city. Like, Boogie Cousins wasn't that happy in Sacramento, but they could offer him so much more money than everybody else that he, even though he wasn't that happy there, he was upset he got traded because the money, there was such a giant financial discrepancy. When Kawhi Leonard can be offered upwards of $70 million more in a, not only in a state with no income taxes, no state taxes, but also with a franchise that has won five of the last 20 NBA titles. It's not like it's like, oh, I'm going to waste my prime here. No, no, no. You actually have won a finals MVP there. So the winning's there. Great coach. An organization that has a pedigree, and they can offer you overwhelmingly more money than anyone else can offer you, and you still desperately want out. That to me was evidence of how months ago, how frayed and broken the relationship had become.
See, let me ask you a question. We've talked a lot about Kawhi Leonard, how he's kind of an understated guy. He doesn't need the limelight. He doesn't want the limelight necessarily. So here's a guy that you wonder why you would want to go to Los Angeles. So clearly it's not to make more money, and clearly it's not because you're going to suddenly fall into stardom that you didn't have in San Antonio. Is it just about going home? Is this all about just I want to play at home?
No, it's more than that. He's not happy with San Antonio's organization. I mean, we have just thrown all this on San Antonio like, oh, it's a great organization. But to me, from what I'm hearing, it's a lot like New England. That means that certain players are going to love it, and then certain players, it's going to rub them the wrong way. How San Antonio goes about doing things, how they police your endorsements, how they police the people you hang around with. There's a number of things that Kawhi was not happy with that he wouldn't. There's certain things they asked him to do. It's not as if he didn't want to do them, but he wanted the explanation why you want this done. And they aren't used to explaining it to their players. And as they explained it to me, they want a bunch of yes guys within their organization. And Kawhi has questioned the type of players that they're trying to pursue in free agency.
And listen, there is a separate angle to this, which is Kawhi Leonard going to be able to get to Los Angeles this offseason? And from everything that I'm hearing, those paths are quickly, I don't want to say closing, but they're shortening. Like, people need to understand this. The Lakers cannot unless Lou Alding is involved and the Spurs are absolutely not taking Lou Alding back. The Lakers and the Spurs cannot consummate a two-team trade involving Kawhi Leonard. They just can't. They have to have a third team involved to make the salaries match. And as free agency is now winnowed down, and Brian Windhorst made this point on Zach Lowe's podcast, and he's hearing the exact thing I am within the league, which is all of a sudden the Nets, who could have facilitated a trade because they had cap space, they spent some of it. The Bulls, they gave Jabari Parker $20 million. Now the teams that aren't trying to win right now, so they don't mind being almost a pass-through entity involving a three-team trade as long as they get a draft pick, those teams, that list is shortening, which is why people are circling back to Toronto. Because Toronto can make that trade work. Toronto does have a guy in DeMar DeRozan. They do have young players. And if you're the Raptors, maybe you think, man, Kawhi Leonard would be the best player in the conference. I think Giannis would be, but they might think he'd be the best player in the conference. LeBron's gone. We go make the finals, even if it's a one-year rental. We've never been to the finals. CC's reporting has been impeccable on this, that Kawhi wants to get to Los Angeles. But he can't make that happen for a year, not on his own. And see, you reported last week that Greg Popovich said that Greg Popovich is not working counterwise to Kawhi Leonard, that he wants to end up making a deal that will make Kawhi happy. But what did he also tell Kawhi? That his primary responsibility is to where?
San Antonio,
right?
And as it should be, which you said, yeah.
Yes, I mean, I don't expect him to do anything different, but the problem is Toronto. I mean, you can call me. Don't call Kawhi, call me. And I'll let you know, he's not going to Toronto. So all these three-team scenarios, things like that, yeah, okay. Like, all that sounds good, but the player has said that he's not going to play. It's not a Paul George situation. I have warned people.
I have to just draw your attention over to one Nick Swisher, who's in the process of completing his second set of 3,000 push-ups.
Hey, Nick
Swisher.
Hey, Nick, how long you playing the major leagues, man?
How long you playing the major leagues?
Okay, you don't have to do that, man. No, you don't have to do that, baby. You don't have to do
More
that.
More First Things First.
Good to see you.
Nationals Park right after this. First Things First on the road in Washington, D.C. Lincoln Memorial, a bunch of fast walkers in Washington, D.C. Never realized how fast everybody's always moving until you actually stop and take a look.
Yeah.
And we are at Nationals Park. Last night, the Home Run Derby. Oh, how about this? 2010 Derby.
Oh, that ain't last night.
Starring our friend Nick Swisher. That was not last night. Oh. Swish, you remember how many home runs you hit?
Yeah, I think five.
It was a four or five.
Well, let's say, can we add one and make
it
five?
Yeah, let's call it five.
Hey, we could say 30 if you want to say 30.
I wish. Guys, do you know how nerve-wracking that is right there?
Tell us.
It is so tough because you're normally used to hitting what we call like the cage, the turtle, you know, that comes over. You feel very safe in there, right? But when it's gone, it's a little different.
So, let me just say, I brought
I'm
up good, earlier.
I'm going to allow him to get away with that with y'all, okay? But with me, do you know how much pressure that is? Oh, my God, it's an all-star game. Swish.
Hey,
stop it.
You're right.
You choke.
You're right. You know what? I felt like I could have made
pressure.
A better appearance. But that's all right. I'll take it, man. At least
I was part of it.
Man.
It didn't look like you had a whole bunch of sleep before that either.
Had the hat all up right there.
Thank you.
At least I didn't have it backwards, though, right?
I'm going to tell you, since that was 2010, right?
Yeah.
Something happened with your head since then, man. Your head's a lot smaller.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I think we all know. I disagree. I happen to think you were under a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You have not just your team watching. Yeah. You have fans from all over watching. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
As opposed to a regular baseball game.
Yes, we just had.
Where'd you go to college?
The Ohio State University. You know that, baby.
Listen, Swish has lived a charmed life. I was talking about this when we saw you in the lobby yesterday. And Chris's lovely wife, Sue, said he's always so happy. I was like, man. Just read the man's resume. I'd be happy, too.
The guy's
woken up every day with a great life ahead of him.
I feel like I wake up every morning in a 3-0 count, man. You know, I feel like life has been good. I'm living my best life right now, man.
God bless you, man.
That's all right.
I'm going to take one last stab at this, and if I get thrown off the corner, I'm not doing it anymore. Was Bryce Harper under any pressure last night? There's a lot of eyes on Bryce Harper. The first half of the season that he's already had, a lot of guys are looking at him. He was the biggest name on that Home Run Derby roster last night. Every single person here cheering for him. Plus, He was dressed to the nines. Like, there was a, the script was written for him to have an incredible
night. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think Bryce really stepped up when he needed to last night. Obviously, in the first half, power-wise, he's been good. I think 23 bombs. You know, he's got 50-plus RBIs right now. The one thing that we look at as media is that batting average. I think he's at 214 right now, which a guy of Bryce Harper's stature, we expect that to be higher, especially when you got guys like Scott Boras saying this guy wants $400 million. So I think in general, here in his own home crowd, you know, where things started for him, to for him to be able to put on a show like he did and to finish strong like he did, especially in the finals against
Schwarber.
He had
nine home runs with nine less swings. Than a minute. Well,
now, that was pressure.
9 and 10.
He had nine home runs with less than a minute left.
Yeah.
And he finished with 18 before they got to the extra 30 seconds. It looked like he had no shot. Looked like he was drawing dead in. And it looked like his dad was rattled. You know, it might have been under pressure. The dad throwing BP.
Well, it's because his biceps were getting in the way, bro. That's what happened.
All of a sudden.
Runs in the family.
Goodness.
This big guy.
It's hitting like the outside corner. He's like throwing and breaking stuff. Like, what are you doing? And then he just is perfect for the final minute. Yeah. For the home crowd, we've seen guys have great home run derbies after great first halves.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we're like, did the home run derby screw them up when they have bad second halves? Like we saw, was it Aaron Judge last year? Right?
Yes, it was.
The terrible month of August shortly after the derby. Do you think the opposite could happen to Bryce? Not because of anything to do with his swing, but just the momentum of the moment, having the All-Star game here.
Right.
And it's not like he's been terrible this year.
Correct.
Just can't hit for average.
Right.
He's getting on base fine. He's hitting bombs.
Of course.
Do you think this could turn his season around?
Absolutely, man. I'm not a guy that believes in the home run derby is bad for you. I think in a day and age where people like the flash, they like the swag, they want to see the best players we have in our game. It's just like the dunk contest.
Absolutely.
I mean, who wants to pass up on the dunk contest, you know? I can't dunk, so, I mean, that'd be great.
But I understand.
Still, just in general, for Bryce to show up the way he did last night, this could get him back in that groove. Kevin Long, the hitting coach of the Washington Nationals, was my hitting coach in New York. Hey, man, he says this kid is primed to have a great second half. He needs it. His team needs it because we always expect the Washington Nationals to be a playoff team every single season. This could be one of those years where that streak breaks.
Then you and the hitting coach, did you talk about the kind of the loop in his swing with him kind of having a home run swing? Is he going to shorten that up for the second half of the season? And with the shifting seems to have gotten in his head.
Well, I mean, the shift is tough, man, especially on left-handed batters. There's no doubt about that. But it's part of the game.
Yes.
Right? I mean, everybody else in the league is dealing with shifts as well. But I think just in general, you've seen the small adjustments that Bryce has made from the beginning of the season until now. That front leg kick is a little lower than what it normally is. Hey, once he starts feeling sexy again, though, that leg kick's going to start coming back up, man, and he's going to start hitting balls off these scoreboards out here.
Depending on what happens in the second half, a lot of people wondering whether he will be worth that $400 million contract that's sort of out there. Should the Nationals go all out at this point to try to keep him?
Well, I'm telling you what, they do have an amazing team, especially like when you look at the beginning of the season on paper. When you look at the roster, just like you do football or basketball, the Washington Nationals look like they were primed to go to the playoffs. You got Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Gio Gonzalez. Yeah. You got guys like Bryce Harper, Rendon, Zimmerman. But the problem is everybody's been hurt this year, and you can't make the club in the tub. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to be able to be where they want to be, you have to stay healthy. They've struggled with the injury bug this year. I'm hoping the second half pays off for them, man, because teams like the Phillies have been an unbelievable surprise. The Atlanta Braves are absolutely doing it so far this year. So for the Washington Nationals, man, you better not slack off too far, because if you get too far back, there's no coming back from there.
All right, let's talk about tonight's game. You got Chris Sale and Max Scherzer. I think you could have made a strong case Jacob deGrom should have been a starting pitcher in this, but it's an All-Star game. I mean, everyone's going to get to play. That's available. What do you think of the starting pitching matchup, even though we'll probably only see these guys? I guess it's not that different from
like
regular baseball games now.
Yeah.
We'll only see them one time through the order, and then we'll just go on a trail of relievers.
Well, you could even say Luis Severino could start for the on the American League side. But either way, man, these guys are nasty. They deserve to be here. Chris Sale has been a dominant force since he showed up in the league. I think DeGrom is having a heck of a year. I don't think because these guys aren't starters that it's going to take any of the shine away from being an all-star. I hope these these guys know that because they're one of the best we have in our game. It's just a shame that you can't have multiple starters, you know? I mean, obviously, you're going to piggyback guys like Sale. You're going to go with Severino. And then who knows? You could bring in guys like Chapman, Kimbrel. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many amazing guys we have. It's just a shame that we're only going to see 9 or 10 of our best pitchers on each side.
Just the third time that the second time we've seen these two pitchers come out 3 consecutive years. Obviously, they've been dominating both, the American and the National League. Do you expect them to spend any more time out there, or are you going to see them as short as we have been seeing them?
Yeah, I feel like this isn't, you know, like the teams have places to go.
Absolutely.
You know, the Boston Red Sox need a guy like Chris Sale. I mean, David Price has struggled a little bit in the first half. He'll come strong in the second half. But still, man, this is not about going 9 strong innings. This is about showcasing our best players we have for our fans. This place is going to be packed out. The energy is going to be off the charts, just like it was last night for the home run.
Speaking about one of the best players, I was going to the bathroom, taking a little break, and I had a couple people from Jersey kind of run up to me. Jersey people, you know, they're aggressive.
They're all over the place.
Man, they want to talk about Mike Trout. Man, forget about all these other. He is the face of Major League Baseball. Do you think that Trout, at this point in his career, is underappreciated?
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit. I also feel like him being on the West Coast has a lot to do with that. I mean, obviously, you know, East Coast media drives it all. So I think, you know, now being part of the media side of things, you know, you kind of understand that a little more. But Mike's that type of guy where he's kind of a quiet guy. You know, he's kind of chill. He's not really swagged out. He doesn't like all the attention. And that's fine. Just like Aaron Judge, same thing. Judge, he doesn't like all that attention. Mm-hmm. So I think just in general, as much as he is probably the best player we have in our game, it's crazy to say that he is underappreciated, but I'm telling you, with the record that the Anaheim Angels have, with the best player in the game, we expect that man to be in the playoffs.
Well, that's the problem for him. Sure, part of it has to do with the coast he's on,
right?
But Yasiel Puig became a star. Kershaw's a star. You can be a star on the West Coast. We saw Ken Griffey Jr. up in Seattle be the face of the league. Then Alex Rodriguez after him. You can be a star on the West Coast.
I agree.
Bonds, like, your team's got to be in
all
the
All those guys
though.
Had a little flair, though. If you look at Ken Griffey Jr., what he could do. If you look at Barry Bonds, what he can do. All those guys had a little edginess to them.
Had a little something to them.
Yeah.
I think the biggest part is the lack of the playoffs. So let's go East Coast bias to two teams that will be in the playoffs, the Yankees and Red Sox.
Yeah.
Right now, the Yankees are on pace for 106 wins. Only 18 teams ever done that in Major League Baseball. What they would get as their reward is a one-game playoff.
Yeah.
So winning that division is wildly important for either of these teams who obviously could win the World Series. How do you see that division shaking out?
Well, I think it's going to come down to whoever makes the move at the break. I think there's obviously been a lot of talk about guys getting bounced around, and obviously we talk about trade rumors all the time. That's what we do. I think just in general, the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox have a chance to be better, as crazy as it sounds. Boston Red Sox have some bullpen trouble. They could use a little help back there. They could use a little help at second base. The Yankees on the other side could use a starter. They might use a power bat on the corners of the infield.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really gotten a whole lot of production from first base this year. But I think just in general, if Greg Bird picks his game up like we all know he can, they're going to play amazingly well in the second half. So I don't know, man. It's crazy. Two teams, 100 wins in the same division. And like you're saying, you got to play in a one-game playoff against maybe a team like the Seattle Mariners, and maybe you get Big Maple or somebody like that.
Don't get ahead of that one-game playoff. Don't forget the regular season ends in Boston with the Yankees traveling to Boston.
3-game set.
That could be an amazing end to the regular season right there.
We all hope it is, because obviously that fight this year between Tyler Austin and Joe Kelly brought the fire back. And that's what we want to see. I mean, we want to see some emotion from these guys. It's been a minute since Don Zimmer and Pedro went at it. Alex and Jason Varitek went at it at home plate. So I think just in general, it's good for our game. I think anytime you have the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees playing well, obviously it's good for our game.
Speaking of the Yankees, they're in the mix right now in that Manny Machado race.
Yep.
Would you rather see them go after him, or would you rather see them put all their eggs in that basket to try to go out and get a starting pitcher?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, who are you going to get? I mean, there's not really a whole lot
there's
of frontline starters
out there to get.
I mean, at the trade deadline, you know, I know Brian Cashman's a man. He's been doing it for 20 years, but it would be hard for me to say that Brian Cashman wants to go out and get a number 3 or a number 4 starter. I mean, if you're going to go to the deadline and give up all your great prospects you have and some of your ready guys,
I want a number one.
I want a Jacob DeGrom. I want a Thor. I want somebody like that. So when you look at it from that side, the Manny Machado thing sounds amazing, because you know he can impact the lineup from day one, and he's going to be in there every day till the end of the season.
All right, real quick, let's talk about the Dodgers for a second. Listen, they are, by the skin of their teeth, leading their division. They got a half-game lead, but it's even harder than that than it sounds, because it's only a 2-game lead on third place, the Rockies. What are the Dodgers? I think the Dodgers are the most talented team in the National League. No disrespect to the Nationals.
Of course.
And there's no shame in being 53-43, but this team could be 58-38. Like, they could be better. Other than being healthy, what do they need to have the second half of the season that they should have?
Well, I mean, obviously losing Kershaw for as long as they have, that's trouble. But then again, if you get him right for the playoffs, you got Ross Stripling here at his first All-Star game. You've got Walker Buehler, who's absolutely having a tremendous year, and Clayton Kershaw. And you have Jose Urias in the minor leagues. So if you think about bringing him up, that's almost like getting a frontline starter at the deadline. I got a chance to talk to Dave Roberts the other day when we were in L.A., and he's so excited for the second half. I mean, obviously they've gone through some struggles. Obviously there have been some great stories like Max Muncy, who's really kind of come on the scene, just like Cody Bellinger did last year, and really provided that energy, that spark that lineup needed. But I think just in general, it's all about consistency and staying healthy.
Could Machado be a Dodger?
Of course. I think he can go anywhere right now. I don't even know where the front line is. The problem is with the Baltimore Orioles that they had so many great offers in January, and they waited. Mm. And now his worth has gone down. So now it just kind of depends on who's going to give the Baltimore Orioles what they want. Because I'm sure they want some ready guys and they want some prospects. It's just all about who's going to give up who.
Less optimism you could not possibly have talking about the second half of the season. All right, just quickly, World Series, who do you like right now? You seem to think every single team is out there.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, obviously, I think in my mind, I think it boils down to the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees, although the Cleveland Indians are having a tremendous season, which I really, really enjoy watching those guys
play. And the defending champion Astros are like, we got four number one pitchers.
I know, it's crazy, man.
Literally only going to be two teams.
I tell you what, if the Houston Astros can find some bullpen help, obviously Rendon has done a great job stepping in for Giles there on the back end. They have a really good chance. And on the National League side, I think it's either the Los Angeles Dodgers or the Chicago Cubs.
Awesome. Thank you.
Exciting second half of the season.
Let's go, man. We're ready.
Get in the cage, bro.
I wish, man. I wish this thing was a jersey, bro, but it's not. It's just a
jersey. Hey,
what is this?
So
what is that little bunny right there?
A little psycho bunny right here?
That's a great brand, see?
You like that?
I'll get you one of those polos,
you know
man.
What? I know a guy, bro. I'm hooking you up.
That size?
Dog. I'm hooking you up.
You say I don't buy you. No. Let me get it. See, no, gives me trouble
we
on Twitter. Says I don't buy him no presents.
Much more First Things First right after this.
Like an old married couple. So he forgot. I forgot the anniversary this year.
Welcome back to First Things First, live from Nationals Park. Oh, boy, we got some extra guests coming your way. Hall of Famers Dave Winfield and John Smoltz are stopping by. And the commissioner, Rob Manfred, will all be here. First Things First from our nation's capital. All right, guys, want to play some Take Your Pick?
Oh, I would love nothing more.
Really?
Let's do it.
Nothing
absolutely
more? Beautiful. Kyle Schwarber was in a groove in last night's home run derby, and his bat flip proved it. But not to be outdone, Bryce Harper had one of his own on the derby winner. So who had the better bat flip last night? Was it Schwarber or Harper? CC, take your pick.
I got to go with Kyle. I like it. I mean, he got the party started because, man, his first round, man, he got the energy going. It's also, Jenna, him and I are from the same high school. He's got a little football mentality. He was All-Ohio football player when he was at Middletown High School, so I'm going with Kyle, hometown.
I figured you'd go with your hometown guy, and I understand it's a great bat flip. But nothing's better than the Bryce Harper bat flip because it's a walk-off bat flip. Because when you have a bat flip that's not even a bat flip, it's just like a two-handed toss into the heavens because you just won the home run derby. That's good. Look at it. He knows he
I'm
got it.
I'm surprised one of the pitchers didn't come out and start fighting him.
No. His dad comes out and hits
so
showing
cool.
him up. That was perfect. Two-handed, toss to the heavens for the hometown crowd. Go get it, Bryce.
I bet you a ton of people start naming their kids Harper after this. Oh, hold on.
Moving that's one on, of Jenna's daughter's
that's
names.
That's one of my daughter's
don't know.
Names. You probably know. Moving on to tonight's All-Star game on Fox. Mike Trout and Bryce Harper will be front and center with all the biggest names in the game under one roof. Who's more likely to win All-Star MVP tonight? Is it Trout or Harper? This time, Nick, you take your pick.
I'm going clean sweep. Bryce Harper. This whole weekend's going to be their whole All-Star festivities. Bryce Harper weekend. It's in his park. He had the amazing comeback in the home run derby. Now, I checked the line. The National League, a slight underdog today. They give the All-Star MVP to someone on the winning team almost always. So, need a slight upset for this to happen. But I say Bryce Harper. Home run derby and All-Star MVP.
Wow.
I believe he lost a lot of energy last night. Ooh. Very humid night for a guy to go through several rounds of the home run derby. I'm going with the best player in baseball, and that being Mike Trout. All right, I believe that Mike Trout and his swing will hold up compared to the big loopy home run swing of Bryce Harper.
He's anti-big loopy. All right, sticking with the All-Star game.
220 compared to 310.
All right. Boston's ace, Chris Sale, will be going up against, will be starter for the AL, while the Nationals' hometown hero, Max Scherzer, gets the nod for the National League. So which pitcher would you rather have, Sale or Scherzer? See, take your pick.
I'm going with the big, I'm going with the big right-hander. Mm-hmm. I got to go with Chris Sale. Chris Sale. Is Chris Sale like, no, Chris is the lefty. I was going to go with the hometown guy, but I'm going with Sale. What he's done for the first half of the season with the Red Sox, been very, very impressive. Now, the reason why they're on that record-breaking pace is because of performance like his. When you look at that all-star lineup, him throwing the little cutter with the fastball for the first inning, maybe inning and a half,
yeah,
I got to go with Sale because of the first half of the season.
I think they'll give both of these guys one time through the order, nine batters through the order. I don't know how long that's going to go into the game. You can't pick wrong here. I'm going with Scherzer just because I had to pick a guy. Both these, there's a reason they're starting the All-Star game. But Scherzer, 2.4 ERA on the year, a 180 batting average against for the year. I mean, he's been outstanding, obviously, over the last half decade in Major League Baseball. I'll pick him tonight, but you can't go wrong with Sale or Scherzer.
Matt Scherzer, the 12th pitcher to start an All-Star game in his home park. So
I was just watching his video, and I had his name in my brain before I went with Chris Sale. Thanks, Pep, for saving me.
No. Moving on to the New York Yankees. Their sluggers lead the majors this season with 161 home runs. They're on pace to break the single-season record, with Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge leading the Yankees with 48 combined home runs at the break. So who will end the season with more home runs, Stanton or Judge? Nick, take your pick.
I'm going to go with Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge has the slight lead right now, 25-23. He also has the benefit of having Stanton typically bat behind him in the lineup. So he sees a better quality pitches than Stanton because he has the excellent protection. And by the way, I might have a bet with a lot of members of our staff that Stanton will not get to 55 home runs. So I don't need him to have some second half like he did last year, where he just all of a sudden starts hitting a home run in, what was it, 19 out of 27 games. I don't need that in my life. Cost me too much money. So I'm going Aaron Judge.
I'm going with Aaron Judge for a different reason. Last year he struggled. After this date, we were at the All-Star game where he went crazy that night. It was an amazing night. But after that, he struggled as far as hitting the ball. He's been with the Yankees in that pennant drive, so this will be his second time around doing that compared to Stanton. I believe he gets used to it. The heat in the summer in New York, I like Judge being able to finish it out.
It's a really good point that Judge last year had just an unspeakably bad August. He bounced back in September, and then he had obviously moments in the postseason, but he does have that added little carrot of not wanting to have a second half fall off.
And a lot of people said it was because of what happened at the Home Run Derby, which was why he...
The pressure of the Home Run Derby.
Not the pressure.
That's ending careers.
The swing wasn't
the pressure. That's ending people's career.
All right. Let's stick with the New York Yankees. They currently find themselves 4.5 games back of the Boston Red Sox in the AL East, with both teams on pace to win over 100 games. It is World Series or bust, so which team is more likely to make the World Series this season, the Red Sox or the Yankees? It's simple. CC, take your pick.
The Yankees are my team, but the Sox, man, you got to believe in what they're doing. I mean, a tremendous year, the pace for which they're performing, not only their pitching, their starting pitching being better than the Yankees, but the way Mookie Betts and the rest of the team is playing offensive baseball. Now, could they use another reliever? Yeah, they could. They got some pitching problems, but the Yankees wish that they had the situation that Boston has.
Listen, the Yankees are having an unbelievable season. The Red Sox are on pace for the fourth most wins in the history of the damn sport. They got the bet. Mookie Betts going to win MVP. Chris Sale, your guy, might win the Cy Young.
Yep.
And you could argue that
he was so good, he was throwing right and left.
You can argue that Craig Kimbrell is the best closer in baseball. He's certainly on the short list. But yeah, listen, if the biggest need on your team is we need a guy like a setup man, then you're in great shape. The Red Sox are the best team right now in baseball for a reason. They got a 4.5 game lead in the division for a reason. I say the Red Sox.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.